This is Sean Castrina, but you all know that with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, you know the guests that I want to bring on have information that can help you. They can educate, encourage you, equip you, help you be a little bit better, get that startup off the ground, or get that struggling business to do better. And my guest today is Chris Mead. How are you doing, Chris?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, it's great. So tell us, I know the story, but tell us a little bit about your story and how you launched the business that you launched.
Yeah, so back in 2017, we invented the world's first four-way volleyball net. So it's called CrossNet. It's a combination of foursquare and volleyball, and it's a brand new sport and a brand new product that's never been on market. So essentially,
you gotta love that blue ocean.
Exactly. Yeah, it was awesome. So me and our two co-founders were together one night, kind of brainstorming cool company ideas, and four-way volleyball net was pretty much the last thing we had on a piece of paper. We Googled it. Nobody had ever created it before. And we were like, why not us? So,
I love that. You know, when you know you have something, like I've never had anything that was completely new, so I'd be exaggerating, but I'm happy when I look in my area and I find something that I think I can make into profitability. But what is it like when you Google it and you know, this is pure blue ocean?
It's a crazy feeling because there's just so much endless potential. And then part of you is like, we need to do this quick before anybody else is sitting in their living room thinking about the same thing. So it's like, let's get started right now. We woke up the next morning. We went straight to Walmart. We got two like mock volleyball nets. We rigged them together, kind of made a proof of concept, had our friends over, and we played for like 6 hours straight. It was just like such a fun time. We made rules up on the spot. And we're like, all right, we need to get a prototype like made ASAP.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. So how long did it take you to get a prototype and then the patenting?
Yeah, so the patent process was going on concurrently with our legal team and all of that, which was great.
Smart.
And then from there, it probably took about 4 to 5 months to really lock down a really good sample that we were proud of. We had to vet manufacturers. We did that going through Alibaba, AliExpress, found somebody in the sporting goods industry. And then we took a lot of time to negotiate. A lot of entrepreneurs, when they start, they just work with the first manufacturer that's willing to take their project on. We negotiated a lot back and forth because a lot of the manufacturers are like, oh, you need to order 1,000 or 2,000 to start. And we're like, no, like we're that. Just kids. We don't have money like that. We could buy 50. Maybe we could scrap cash for 50. If you're willing to work with us for 50, we promise we'll make it worth it eventually.
That is so good. I just want to pause for a second. I have a neighbor two doors down whose wife sent me a text that I could literally read, but just take my word for it. He came up with a project. I mean, this product about exercising, and it's kind of like these little slider things and you do a workout. Well, she basically said, Sean, I've got like 5,000 of these that are in my garage for the last 10 years. And basically, you know, they spent $350,000 in creating a prototype and doing this straight up. I mean, this story, you know, on the lives of my children. I tell people you don't spend a dime more than it takes to get a startup to breathe.
Exactly.
I don't care what the offer is. I don't care if they're like, you buy 500,000, you know, for $1 million, we'll sell them to you for $2 a piece. But yet if you buy them one at a time, they're 50 bucks a piece. You pay 50 bucks a piece.
Exactly. You build up the market, like show that there's actual going to be results. Like there's nothing that irks me more than people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on inventory before they even have their first sale. So gotta start small.
Proof of concept and then proof of sale. How are you actually gonna sell the product? I tell people, I don't care if you go to your cotton picking county fair. I don't care if you do it in a mass, city block garage sale. You have to know that people will pay the price that you need to make to have the margins.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And it took us a while because we started selling the product at $100 and now we do sell it at $150. So, but we had that learning experience for almost a year. We're like, how does $100 with $25 shipping play? How does $125 with free shipping? So we kind of experimented. And fortunately, as we started selling more, we baked in wholesale pricing so we could offer it to the big retailers. But it took a lot of time. And it certainly, I think if we even purchased $250 to start, we would have really been out of a lot of capital to run advertisement and to actually sell the product because that takes a lot of money.
I was going to sell it. Listen, the fact that you have a product, I'm going to let my audience in. You've heard me say this, but I'm going to tell you why 99% of every business goes out of business. This is groundbreaking. Sit down for this. They don't make enough sales. Okay. Yeah. They don't sell. Go to every business. Blockbuster Video, not enough people rented their video. Go to JCPenney, not enough people shopped there. That is the common denominator in the last 100 years of 99% of businesses go out. They have even sometimes a great product, but they have no marketing strategy, how they're going to, you know, acquire customers and sell it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it took us a lot of time. And I remember the whole goal when I started was we set small achievable goals. We had, let's do 5 sales a day. Let's do 10 sales a day. And now we're up to, yesterday, I think we sold almost 500. So
that's you gotta just start small. You know, everybody's trapped at home with their families. So literally my wife the other day said, can you go get me a jigsaw puzzle? Like I'd rather hang myself, but that's where we're at this point.
Exactly.
Another thing that you did, whether you meant to do it, but it's the secrets how I've made all my businesses is you partnered. Now I always say under the age of 25, you can partner for no other reason than you like each other. Over the age of 25, I always say you need to partner because somebody brings something to the table that without it, you couldn't get it off the ground. I always tell they either have time you don't have, expertise that you don't have. They can fulfill a function within the company, the lawyer, they can do that or they have money. But typically it's one of those four things. Under the age of 25, you're allowed to do it for no other reason than it's fun.
That's funny you say that. Yeah, we started I was 24 and my two partners were 22. So, but at the same time, I think the reason why the company is where it is today, well, I know the company is where it's at today because we each did bring a different skill set.
Yeah.
So I'm the sales guy. I'm kind of the face, the one talking to everybody, building those connections. My brother Greg runs all of the social media and brings the traffic to the website. I built the website.
Yeah.
And then my partner Mike is the engineer, so he's the one
he's a tech guy. He's the guy who gets it built.
Exactly. So
You got marketing. You have a marketing, like a social media. You know your brother, and then you have the guy who handles the production end of it. If I understand things correctly, and there's got to be a face of the company.
Exactly.
So. There always has to be, there always has to be a face, Bill Gates, Microsoft, but he did have a partner, Steve Jobs had a partner. I keep going. Uber has partners.
Yep. So
Google has partners. I mean, you can keep going all the way down the line, Southwest Airlines. But it is the secret. What I always say is I'd rather make 50% or whatever it is. Rather make half of a lot than 100% of a little. Because partnerships, they just scale faster. Your capability is so much greater. And the other thing that I just absolutely love, when things are horrible and it sucks, you're getting sued, you have a competitor that just jumps into the marketplace. It is so much more fun to brainstorm with partners who have some skin in the game. Hmm. And when things are great, there's nothing like celebrating with partners who have skin in the game.
Exactly. Yeah.
Both sides.
Yeah, and it gives us so much more motivation. Like, there's no weekends for us. We're working whenever and every time we can just because it's enjoyable, and we're seeing the success every single day. So it's like we have more and more motivation every day.
It's funny. I mean, did you guys – like, what was your majors in college, or what were you presently doing? Because, I've had people that were bartenders at the time. I had people that were in grad school at the time going to be a doctor or lawyer. When does it hit you that you want to be an entrepreneur? Like, okay, I know you guys are, like, brainstorming, but were you guys trying to own a business, trying to start a business? I mean, kind of what was the genesis aha moment to get this whole thing started?
I graduated film school. So I went to school for film. I tried to be a movie director. And then I switched careers into sales, and I was working as like an account executive at Uber, kind of like launching Uber Eats in Boston and Rhode Island in New York headquarters. But I was just commuting every day to work. I was doing like a 2-hour commute, just grinding every day. And I was making a great, great living, great paycheck, but I just felt like I was going to stay at a job for 2 years, go to the next job for 2 years, make more money and just keep moving and moving. And it was just like just chasing a paycheck rather than actually being fulfilled and coming to work being like, yeah, let's do this.
Because you got to have that. You know what I tell people? Listen, money's the last thing you're going to get. Money always follows a great idea. If you do it right, your money will take care of itself. But you've got to have that motivating reason. And mine was I wanted flexibility of schedule. I wanted to know at some point that I could dictate my own decisions, hire my own team, set the strategy. You got to have that strong motivator. A 2-hour drive would have motivated me there. You had me at 2 hours of commuting.
Exactly. Yeah, it's frustrating. So it was good to be able to get that just flexibility and be able to not have to send my boss an email saying, oh, my grandma died again for the fifth time. Like, I got a day off.
How many times can she die? But when you have a job that sucks, There's nothing more draining. When you think about it, you're going to spend, you know what, 60% of your waking day doing something you can't stand.
Exactly.
If that doesn't motivate you to be even an average entrepreneur,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't even have to be, you don't have to be great even, but if you had just a business where you dictated your own hours, were able to put the, your own team on the field, mm-hmm. You know, control your destiny, I mean, even like the coronavirus, let me let you know a secret for all you entrepreneurs, every business owner sub 100 company, 100 employees that's getting a check from the business company, getting a check from the government is holding on to that freaking check like oxygen for themselves. Let me, for themselves, telling their employees, just go on unemployment, and when this thing's over, I'm going to hire you back. Because entrepreneurs, startup guys, man, you have survival at least in your control. You know what I'm saying? You can pivot. You can, you know, who knows what 3 months is going to look like to some companies.
Exactly.
It's a crazy one. I hear like the government say that, like, yeah, keep all your companies, your employees on. You have no idea what, you know, in certain, what's going to be, what the market is even going to look like September.
Exactly.
You have a great business. You have a fun.
Lucky. Great, yeah. They're
even letting the people play on the beach now. So you can't, you know, the families can even play. But it, my whole point of what I was trying to say is, man, I got like let go of my dream job. And that is the most helpless feeling. And it is nice that even if you know you're getting ready to hit an iceberg, that you at least get a chance to turn the wheel. You know, you know you're going to hit it, and you have a chance to you know, to survive and all that. When you have no, I don't know, being an entrepreneur is just the greatest thing, is what I'm saying, for those who like it. So yeah, what's so do you see like spin-off products or?
Yeah, so we just so we've had the outdoor model. So it's a 4-way volleyball net that's been out for almost 3 years now.
Tell us the product name again, because I want to keep CrossNet. Promoting that. CrossNet. Yeah. That's a great brandable name.
Yep. CrossNet volleyball. So yeah, we have about 60,000 of them out in the world right now. So people are just.
And where do people typically buy them at? I mean, where?
So they typically buy them on our website, crossnetgame.com, or we're available at big box stores like Walmart, Target, Dick's, Shears.
How hard was it to get into big stores like that? Like,
wasn't that hard, to be honest. Fortunately, if you have a good product, like you said, if you have a good product, you have solid margins that we were really considerate about with wholesale. We don't get burned, and the wholesalers make enough money, so they're happy. But we're also in a category that was kind of boring. There's really not much that comes out in outdoor.
Nothing sports. New. I was going to say, there's not, what do? You have badminton, volleyball, you have, you know, which made a lot of money 15 years ago, or maybe 20, I'm getting old, but, what was it? Oh gosh, where you throw the cotton pick and beanbag thing.
Yeah, exactly. So
I forgot what the name of it is, but you know, where
cornhole,
everybody.
Cornhole. Yeah.
Cornhole. Exactly. Yeah. That's how simple is that? But
exactly. So now we have like this viral product. There's ads everywhere. The buyers are like, yeah, I've seen that on my timeline. And then they click it once and now they're getting retargeted. So they're constantly being like, oh, I'm the sporting goods buyer. Why do I not have this game at my store? So it's a much more warmer touch typically when I reach out. We have the sales at this point, like selling over $1 million a month sometimes. So like, they want it.
That's
in the store.
Huge.
And it moves quick.
And it has so many complimentary, you know, the thing, once you build a brand, once you have that, you know, that you have that brand equity, then you can just introduce product lines within that whole.
Exactly. Yeah. So we just dropped the indoor model about 3 months ago. So that's going to be compatible. You just drop the game into the base, and now you can set it up inside. We're in over 4,000 gym classes, so the gym teachers are going to love it to teach volleyball. And then we have a longer net coming out to have team battles, so 2v2v2 instead of 1v1.
I love this, man. I interview a lot of people, but I don't interview enough truly great entrepreneurs, you know, and I say great is when you identify a marketplace and you're running with it. Where it ends up, who never knows, you know, defining big and great is all in the, but you know, I interview a lot of people that, you know, did something 15 years ago, but it's exciting when somebody's in that first, you know, 3 to 4 years of it. It's like watching somebody when they first meet their bride. Seriously. Like when they know they met the one, exactly, you like tell your buddies, no, this is the one. No, really? No, this is the one. And let me tell you why. It's that same look.
It's crazy. Every day, like something new happens. We just signed a partnership with Wilson. So Wilson Volleyball is going to be making our volleyballs for the game. It makes it so much more of a legit sport now that we're partnering with the biggest ball manufacturer like in the world. So just crazy.
I think it just keeps bringing costs more, you know, you just have better margins when you have better partners.
Exactly.
Well, Chris, this is one of them great interviews that I just appreciate. What's the one piece of advice, if you know, knowing what you now know, what's the one piece of advice you would give a startup entrepreneur?
You got to be patient. And as long as you're seeing a little success every single day or every few days, just keep going. There's going to be times where you just want to fold it. I mean, there's times where we probably were like, I don't know if we can do CrossNet anymore. And we didn't pay ourselves for 18 months. We found other ways to make money.
You got to be willing to make those sacrifices.
Yeah, it sucked. It sucked for 2 years. It was terrible. But we saw that we were making progress. And now it's like a dream waking up every day.
No, I mean, just so you know how much money people make on like Monopoly? Why don't you Google those royalties?
I can imagine.
You know what I mean? Once you have something and then, you know, obviously at some point somebody very big can come in and make you that obscene offer. And then that's one of those you wrestle with because that offer will come.
I'm sure it will.
Oh, no, it does.
Yeah.
No, I can tell you that. It will. It does. And it's just, you know, there's no wrong answer to the. I remember watching a thing where this guy who was mentoring Mark Zuckerberg, and he was saying to him, he goes, you're going to get $1 billion offer, and it's just going to be your decision on whether you know whether you want to do that. And he goes, in your ego, you think you can do another one of these, and he goes, you never can duplicate this level of success. It was the best piece of advice. This guy said, he goes, your ego is going to tell you, hey, sell out, you know, be a philanthropist, live happily ever after, you know, you're in your 20s. And he goes, and that's fine, but don't think you can duplicate this. He goes, because you get one chance at something this seismic. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's whether that's, I'm just passing the story along.
No, I love it.
A billionaire guy who was one of their investors, and he said, hey, listen, you're going to get that offer. And Mark Zuckerberg reached down, pulled out. He goes, yeah, I have that offer. And he goes, and he was wrestling with it at the time.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Chris, we have Chris Mead on our show, one of the co-founders of CrossNet. Listen, all you people that are trapped at your house, go online and buy something. Do something where your butt moves a little bit. It's called exercise. Do something that's fun. Listen, Chris, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. And just anybody who's a real entrepreneur that can, you know, equip, encourage, and educate my audience is who I want. So let me just sign off here. Everybody, thank you for listening to the podcast today. Like it, subscribe to it, rate it, share it with your friends. Send me questions at AskSean@SeanCastrina.com. And we will talk again tomorrow.